Yud Aleph Yal Siman Pei Dalet Alacha Tezayin. We're going to Pei Hey Siman Pei Hey Alacha Gimel. Okay, so we're discussing so how to go out and what are you allowed to go out with when it comes to Shabbos on going out into places where there's no Eruv, whether it's a Carmelist or a Shosarabim. So the Kitzur teaches us you're allowed to go out with a talis that has tzitzis. That means as long as you're wearing it, you're not carrying it. So even though it has tzitzis, and tzitzis seem to be maybe something extra, the answer is no, because it's part of the beggar, it's part of the garment. And as long as, this is a whole discussion actually, if the kosher, meaning if it's not a kosher tzitzis, that's where it become very problematic. You should know there's a whole, today that there are opinions that hold that we have the tchelas, so that can make the rest of the going out with tzitzis without tchelas a very big question. Because if you hold that there's no tchelas and you're not wearing it, so then the tzitzis might be not kosher. So this is a whole interesting discussion. I know of Herschel Shechter Shlita, I think he holds that the person wouldn't be allowed to go now, at least on the Deraisa level. But the mice in most post came as I was Bezeich to be with Chaim Kanievsky, we have mentioned this already, he says Niknas, that the Tchez is hidden, so it was definitely where one can wear the tzitzis even in Manhattan, etc. Okay, the only difference is if a person's folding up the tzitzis, let's say wearing it in a way that people don't usually wear, that's when it's a problem. If there's a garment that has two straps, different types of cords that are connected and used to, this is how you use the garment. Obviously, it's not a problem, it's all part of the garment. In fact, the Moshe Feinstein has a whole discussion of something that is on the garment that becomes subordinate to the garment. To the degree that Moshe even says, if you have those laundry tags, so that's already even a bigger condition. Moshe still says that that's considered part of the garment and it's subordinate to the garment, and it's considered insignificant, and therefore is not going to be a problem to go out. Ideally, even he says you should remove such things. The only question becomes is we have something like a strap or you have some type of cord, and one of them basically detaches. So now why does that make it a problem? Because if you're planning on replacing the one that got detached, so the one that was left is not really functioning anymore as part of the garment because it can't be used. At the same time, you're leaving it there because you want it there, and it's not subordinate to the garment. So it's not functioning as part of the garment, and it's not subordinate to the garment, meaning it's not insignificant. So now you have a real serious problem. That's why in such a case you really wouldn't be able to go out with such a garment. The Kitzur discusses also that if a person doesn't have any intention to fix it, okay, then it's not bomb because it's insignificant and it's subordinate to the garment. And however, if it's something very chashiv, so even though you don't have in mind to fix it, it's not going to be batel to the garment. The next discussion that the Kitzur says is what about these things? Well, he calls them fuk, and types of the equivalent, but I wouldn't say the equivalent, but similar to the concept of shetels and wigs. He's talking about combed flax and spun wool that makes a person appear like he has hair in his head, far from what we have today. But the bottom line is considered a tachshis, it's considered an ornament for a person, and therefore, so long as they were fit for Shabbos, it is permitted to go out. Another interesting shayla is a kameya amulets. So there's a major discussion about amulets, how valid, how much you could rely on amulets. But an amulet that is reliant, meaning that today, so the Piskashur was right, said even if something is not so clear, as long as it's not known to be totally false, this is what to rely on. Because like we said, our streets are not usually Shusarabim. Although like I said, maybe in Ocean Park one should be more strict. The bottom line is that there's these amulets that the amulets that even the Kitzur discusses. It's a stone that's called, he calls it a sternschnus, which the art school actually identifies, according to some, as carnelian stone. What is this carnelian stone that women wear? They wear it when they are pregnant and they're worried about miscarrying. So this is interesting that these stones, by the way, there's what to rely on in regard to different questions of Avodah Zarah, relying on superstition, etc. This is already discussed, by the way, in the Rabbeinu Bachya about these stones. Okay, next siman, we're starting a new siman. Rachmana litzlan, if there's a fire in Shabbos, what to do? So there's an obvious outside discussion that if there's danger, there's nothing to talk about it. And this is going to be dangerous even amongst, when Jews are living amongst us, that's even more important. And therefore there's room, not room, you're obligated to make sure to take care of the fire. We're talking about a case where there's a person in the house that has acres and acres, and therefore there's no concern of fire spreading. And he wants to know what's the halacha. So the halacha is the following. What's the concern? In truth, you have to understand also putting out a fire, generally speaking, is a drabban, not a rice, even though it's a malacha. But usually it's a malacha shetich legufa, it's not creating anything. But the bottom line is that it's all based on the idea that when Chachamim and their wise understanding of human psychology understood that the person is going to be in a state of fire, he goes into a state of panic. And what's going to happen is he's going to forget his Shabbos. If he's going to allow to save everything, he's going to end up putting out the fire. And we don't, you know, so it's an amazing thing. A person has, in a way, if not for outside consideration, like we said, safety and pikuach nefesh, a person would have to be obligated to give all his money. By the way, this is also a more paskud than hilchos sukkah out of what places. A person's obligated to give up his money, not be over alav. Here, by the way, like I said, it would seem that this is even a derabbanan, and still a person's obligated to lose all his money. When it comes to a positive commandment, it's a different story. There's a limit to how much a person has to give. But in any case, so therefore, they limited and gave us a guidelines what to save. So here we go. The rule is like this. When it comes to a fire, when it comes to food. So food, you're allowed to save. The person himself is allowed to save up to 3 meals worth. And that's assuming that the fire broke out before he even had the Friday night meal. Because it's all assessed on the meals that you have in Shabbos, the obligation. And that includes also, the kids, it says, food that you need to take food for the animal. So interesting. Why is that? Because you're not allowed to eat before, you're not allowed before you feed the animal. So it's the amount of 3 times of feeding the animal. Now, so based on this, the formula is that if a person's fire was in the morning before the last 2 meals, I mean the 2 day meals, so then you take out that amount. So that's the rule. Now, also, if you have one utensil, you could take out a lot of food. So if a basket filled of breads, you could take many breads. It's just when you're taking individual breads with your hand, then it's lech mishnah for each meal. Comes to a barrel filled with wine, the same idea. Since you're taking out in one shot, it's okay. Even if you spread a sheet and you gathered everything, all the foods and the drinks, and taking out one time, that's also okay. You're also allowed to take all the utensils that you're going to need to use that day. It's all based on the personal use. Now, here, there's a chiddush. The owner could also say to other people, bo v'atzil lechem, me to come and save for you. And that means every person is going to save food that he needs. Meaning to say, it goes now on based on each individual needs about 3 meals worth of food and everything else that we just described. Now, the reason why this is okay is because the owner is basically saying that I'm making it ownerless. The only thing is, and we will understand, and that's why the Kizur says a person that's God-fearing is going to end up giving it to the Balabais. Why is that? Because to the owner. Because at the end of the day, he did it because he had no choice. He had to make it ownerless. And technically speaking, this guy could charge him. But, and it won't be even Schar Shabbos, because Mitzadah didn't really all his. But it's Midas Chassidus not to take reward for that work he did in Shabbos. And the Chassid has to be Mevata Mishaloi from anything that is in what's called the Nidnud of a possibility of an Aveira. And lastly, all this that we're being permitted to take out on Shabbos is only to a place where you're allowed to carry. Now, if you're not allowed to carry, I mean, there's no Aveira, but there's Karmelis or Shazam, you wouldn't be able to save anything. Now, when it comes to clothing, that's amazing, by the way, that it's only talking about where there's an ear. Now, when it comes to clothing, so here's different. When it comes to clothing, a person could take out as many clothing as he is basically could wear. And you could wear and then go up again and wrap yourself with many different clothing and do the same thing. And he could even tell others to come and do the same thing, because I can't hear, there's really no limitation to how much. It's based on how much a person wears. That's the amount that a person could take it out. And therefore, you could even have others do the same thing for him on his behalf. It doesn't go through the whole process that we did when it came to food. Have a beautiful day.